Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Oh, boy. He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? Dada.
All right, I also asked for questions. Let's check and make sure. Let's see if we have any stars.
Yeah, let's see. I don't see any star comments, so I'm going to. I see Mario Rivera. Saw the NBA returning to the NBC commercial during an NFL game, and I'm hyped, hoping they bring back Round Ball Rock. That is the plan, that song is going to make a return. And I do think we're going to see some like retro content, which I think will be kind of good. Actually, it was kind of cool that Cavs Thunder game, before the Cavs Thunder game, you had a bit of a monologue that like told people about the teams that were about to be playing in that great game. Like, honestly, the media blitz before the game, the presentation of the game itself being as exciting as it was, like, it's not a coincidence that all of that stuff happened. And then the next day, it comes out that was like 20% higher viewership for that one game than it was that time last year. Yeah, if you put in the work, and that was Cavs Thunder. Like, those aren't huge markets. Those aren't like the, like, actually, OKC's the smallest market in the NBA. Like, those are, if you put in the work, it doesn't matter who's playing. The sport's great. The NBA's great. Fucking market it, ESPN. Do your job. All right. I did ask for questions on Twitter, so I'm going to go ahead and dive in there. If I find those questions, here we go. All right. First question from Twitter from Lakers Supply. Writes, if the Lakers were to pursue Bruce Brown, would they look to do a 3-for-1 like Rui and two minimums, or a 3-for-2 like Rui and Gabe with a minimum and Bruce Brown? What Rui and Gabe and a minimum for Bruce and another contract? So yeah, the Lakers have talked internally about Bruce Brown, I'm told, quite a bit that he is a subject that they bring up quite often. Issue with him though is that like he makes 23 mil, and you have to move like a big chunk of your rotation to go out and get him. The Lakers don't want to move Rui and draft capital for Bruce Brown. Rui is a very popular guy at kind of the upper tier of the organization. And if they move Rui, Eric Pincus covered this the other day, and then it was kind of echoed in some of the conversations I've had since, that like, if they move Rui, they aren't just going to do it for just anybody. So they, you know, if it's like, if it's Rui that you're moving, you know, and there's an all-star available, okay. Like, and it's an all-star on like a decent contract, all that stuff, okay. Like, if it's a clear upgrade, then the Lakers are fine with moving Rui. The difference though is that what we consider a clear upgrade is not what it appears they consider a clear upgrade. So I would like to trade for Bruce Brown. I saw that Lonzo got into the starting lineup, And we'll see how his body holds up as we get closer to the trade deadline. I would love for the Lakers to move Rui for Lonzo. Actually, before they traded D'Lo, I was actually on board with moving D'Lo for Lonzo and a pick. You know, obviously the Lakers are very concerned about Lonzo's body and whether or not it'll hold up. We have to watch. We have to watch and we have to wait and see how that holds up or he holds up. So in the meantime, though, like, you know, all of those concerns that we have about Lonzo staying healthy, we can have a lot of those same concerns for Bruce Brown, who has not played a ton of basketball over the last year or so. Some of that obviously is Toronto being hyper careful there to protect their trade asset and, you know, some tanking stuff going on there too. But, and then also, like, he was a very different player in Indiana than he was in Denver. Now, I do think he would be better in LA playing off of LeBron and playing off of Anthony Davis and playing off of Austin Reeves than he was in Indiana when he was kind of more of an engine for that offense. Even if he was a secondary engine, that's a bigger role in the offense than he would be playing in the Lakers. So I think he would, you know, he'd be better for the Lakers than he was for Indiana. And I think he would be better for the Lakers than he has been in Toronto. It's just that he makes so much money that it's very difficult to kind of trade for him. So I don't think the Lakers are interested in trading Rui for Bruce Brown, but we'll see how that changes over the course of the next few weeks, especially once Vando is back and they get a better look at what the rotation would look like and Rui's role in that rotation with Vando back and with more of a focus on switchability, athleticism, and defense than the Lakers have played with to this point. Next question, at Laker Goat writes, any insight on if the Cooper jersey retirement is going on as planned? Man, that's tough. So the Lakers just tweeted out tonight, while I have been on the air, that Michael Cooper, his jersey is going into the rafters. I kind of wonder how much of a role that is playing in their interest in getting back out onto the court as quickly as they are while the Rams move their game to Arizona. But based on this tweet, it does look like Coop's jersey is going up and they will have that ceremony for him. The Lakers did make a trade. So and things are going pretty well for the Lakers. So my guess is Jeannie will be present for that ceremony and Rob will be present for that ceremony. As will a lot of those Showtime Lakers, Kareem will be there. Magic will be there. James will be there. Byron will be there to celebrate Coop going his jersey going up, and rightfully so. Like, by the way, I've seen some kind of debate over whether or not Coop's jersey should be retired. One, he's a Hall of Famer now, so it, like, objectively that jersey is going up. And even before then, they don't win those titles without him playing defense the way that he is or the way that he did. And, you know, he kind of like invented the mold of a 3-and-D wing that we now see as the most important role player on a lot of really good teams. So, yeah, happy for Coop. Wish it was going up under better circumstances, but to the best of my understanding, the Lakers are going to celebrate him. And honestly, like, you know what? Now that I'm kind of thinking about it and talking about it out loud, it would be good to just kind of wrap our arms around Coop. You know, there's going to be a whole bunch of Coop from the crowd. Who knows what to do in that moment. But yeah, I think it'll be great to see him celebrated. It'll be great to do some celebration. His jersey will go up. Monday night if the game does go on as scheduled. And that moment will be pretty cool and a nice little release for a whole bunch of people who are looking for anything to kind of celebrate. All right. The next question here comes from let's see, just make sure I don't have anybody. All right. I guess there's a rumor out there about Kessler going potentially to Boston. I haven't seen much of that. So there's a, you know, like LZ Hunter is asking, why is Ainge still allowed to make trades with the Celtics? Because Utah employs him to make trades. I think so. I reported this, a few weeks back, how the Jazz are specifically not interested in sending Kessler to the Lakers because they're concerned that Kessler and AD will actually weaken their trade asset, years down the line from now. So, keep that in mind. Now, would he be available to the Celtics and not the Lakers? Yeah, probably, because the Celtics, I don't believe, have any future draft capital that impacts the Utah Jazz. So, most people I talk to around the league don't think Kessler is actually available, period. Two, to take it a step further, the Lakers people that I talk to don't think that Kessler is available specifically to them on top of him not really being available to the rest of the league. He's a young center, averages a double-double a night already, is on an incredible contract too. He's somebody that fits really well with Lauri Markkanen. And once the Celtics, if they get lucky and they get Flagg in there too, he would fit fine with Cooper Flagg as well. And now all of a sudden could be a part of a winning team whenever the Jazz are more interested in doing more winning. So that's a factor in how available Kessler is. And then on top of it, the Lakers have, oh my God. Oh, wow. Washington with a walk-off doink. Lakers, the Jazz own some future Lakers draft capital. And if you trade a young, productive center to a team whose draft capital you own, you inherently lessen the value of that draft capital. And that's something that Danny Ainge is very reluctant to do. So, this isn't a matter of like him tampering with the Celtics or giving the Celtics any kind of a discount compared to what like the Lakers saying. There's a very practical reason that he is reluctant to trade Walker Kessler to the Lakers. But I think more importantly than even that, I don't think Kessler is actually all that available unless you're willing to like overpay to a crazy extent for Walker Kessler, which maybe the Boston Celtics are willing to do. But I don't think that I based on conversations I've had to this point, I think it's more likely that Kessler stays in Utah past the deadline than is actually moved. Let's look at the comments here from the live audience. Is asking, is Sharp from the Nets a real option? Yeah, I do think so. De'Ron Sharp. I think the Lakers asked about De'Ron as part of the Dorian Finney-Smith trade. The Nets asked for another second rounder for him, and the Lakers were not interested in that and said, we'll come back to you maybe later on in the year to see what his price is at that point. And instead traded for Shake Milton, thinking that they needed a guard, which, you know, they traded D'Angelo Russell and felt like they needed a guard to bring some of the shooting that he has and some ball stability and stuff like that. But yeah, the other part of it too is like with Sharp, are we positive that JJ would play him? Are we positive that he would actually play a role in, you know, on a team that is as focused on small ball as the Lakers are? I think for right now, and I've reported this before and I'll continue to say it, once they get Jared Vanderbilt back, the hope is to take a look at what this team looks like, what that rotation looks like, what that identity looks like, and then kind of go from there as you get closer to the trade deadline. If it looks like the small ball approach isn't as productive as the Lakers are hoping for it to be. And then at that time, De'Ron Sharp is a possibility. Nick Richards from Charlotte is a possibility. I know Jonas Valanciunas has been on the Lakers radar dating back to last summer. So the Lakers, you know, think they'll have options as you get closer to the trade deadline, and we'll see what that looks like. All right. I think that is going to do it. My voice has held up about as well as it could possibly have held up. I'm going to go ahead and give myself or my vocal cords and my sinuses a high five, not literally because that would hurt. But yeah, the plan is if the Lakers have a game tomorrow night on Monday night, Raj and I will be live after the game to talk about it. And then, you know, kind of carry out the rest of the week the way that we normally would. So until then, and until the next time you guys hear from us, I'm Anthony Irwin saying, have a great rest of your day, make somebody else's, and I will talk to you guys tomorrow.
Bye, everyone.